Welcome to the Outside the Business Box podcast. I'm your host, Sophia Clemens, and we are here with Chad Murray, the owner of Outside the Business Box. Before we get started with today's episode, I just wanted to introduce myself a little bit. My name is Sophia Clemens. I am Chad's social media manager. I know a lot about social media. He invited me to be the host to be able to get more episodes out at a more routine basis. So let's get this started. Good morning. Hello, Chad. How are you?
Doing wonderful. I wanted to bring Sophia on here to the podcast. She's a communications major. She's my social media specialist for my two businesses. And so I wanted to put a little professional spin on this with her producing it. I can't get the content out regularly like she's going to be able to do. We're going to start doing this every week. Wednesday or Thursday, we'll have new episodes out there. And go from there. So I'm excited to be here. You know, this is numero one, uno. This is our first podcast. This is a re-recording. You can still listen to my first one. But what I wanted to really tell everybody about this, because the reason we're redoing it isn't just because of Sophia taking over here. It's because when I first got the mindset to do the podcast, I was really in the mindset of I'm helping chimney companies. Well, my outside the business box, my coaching practice has really morphed into helping service and construction companies. As a matter of fact, I mean, out of all my clients I have, I've only got 1/3 of my clients are in the fireplace chimney space. So I'm helping a lot of other businesses because it's just the business practicing that I do. So with the podcast, my focus here is what I've done to help them. What guests can I have on here to help you? And just to try to get the voice out there of what you could do with your business that I'm working on each week.
So I know you talk a lot about systems and culture when you are coaching other people's businesses. What do you mean by systems and culture?
Well, systems is easy. It's just, what do you have in place to make sure that your employees have something to work that makes them successful, to make your business grow? And that goes from everything from how they clock in and out all the way to exactly how they sell, implement, manufacture, install. I mean, all that kind of stuff. That's a system. Everything's a system. And then when we talk about culture, culture is that driving force of a lot of businesses get to $3, $4 million, even $1 million sometimes. And they get stuck. Why is my business not growing? Well, two things. Generally, number one is they need to upgrade their systems. They're stuck on the systems they have because they're the system that got them where they are, but it's not the system that's going to continue growing. And then the big one, the culture. You don't work on your culture when you're building your business up front because nobody talks about it. So this is where the people come in and say, when I started working with people, every one of my clients say this, I can't find good employees. Well, that's because you don't have a system in place to do it. You don't have the culture in place to, when you find them, to mold them into good employees. That's really big with working with me and obviously listening to this for the future, this podcast, of how you develop all of those skills.
Isn't it true that you coached a pharmacy and a tent business?
I actually still do the tent business because it's actually a friend of mine, and I did their pharmacy for a little while and just kind of helped them, you know, get through some cultural stuff and maybe a couple systems, but it was short-lived, not because it wasn't good. They were already a great company. So, I can coach anybody if, you know, it doesn't matter how executive it can be, you know, it can be any type of business. My specialty is just service and construction. However, the right client comes around, I mean, I could coach anything.
So I'm assuming that a lot of our listeners want to know, you know, how did you get to where you are today? How did you go from a window washer to a chimney guy to a business coach? So can you just touch upon, you know, your life story? How did you get to where you are today?
Sure. I mean, well, I come from a father that's from Texas and a mother from Wisconsin. They met when my dad was stationed in Wisconsin, got married, had my brother and I. Short marriage, I divorced when I was in first grade. My mother moved back to Wisconsin. My dad moved back to Texas at the time. We were actually living in Tucson, Arizona. And my dad moved around for his job. So every summer until I met my wife in high school, we came down to Texas for the entire summer and some Christmases. But we essentially were frozen in the winter and then thawed out in the summer. It was really kind of a unique growing up. My mom and dad were always a very good influence on me. Even though my dad was very distant, pretty good dad from the distance, you know, my mom's an angel, so that's easy. So as I met my wife in high school, married. We have 5 daughters now. The path to getting to where I am now, I mean, a short story. I mean, it really kind of goes to graduated high school, went in the Army National Guard, literally July 4th after graduation. Went to basic training and AIT in the Army, came back, went to school while I was still in the Army National Guard. You just do a week, you know, a monthly weekend type deal. You do once a month and all that, and 2 weeks a year. I went to school at Spartan School of Aeronautics in Tulsa. My wife, a girlfriend at the time, followed me down there. Hated it. I'm not a mechanic type guy. And so I hate working on cars. I didn't realize working on airplanes was going to be any different than working on cars. And so I flunked out. I mean, I quit, but I really flunked out. I hated it. And so became a restaurant manager for a pizza joint down in Tulsa that was a really big chain. Worked my way up to the number 3 store. Became one of the youngest general managers they ever had. Doing really well up until, 21, 22 years old. And then I got a little bug in me that I wanted to be a Marine. I always wanted to be a Marine. And my dad talked me out of the Marine and had a couple buddies that did the split National Guard. So they kind of all talked me to go Army National Guard, but my heart was always to be a Marine. So I joined the Marine Corps straight out of being a manager from a pizza place. And I'll give them props. If you're from Oklahoma, Missouri, Kansas, there's Mazio's Pizza, Mazio's Corporation. It was a great company to work for. Taught a lot of leadership skills. Of course, the Army and the Marines did as well. Did a real short stint in the Marine Corps, long story that I won't go into. Got out, went back to the Mazio's for a little bit, ended up saving up some money and moving where my dad's side of the family is in Dallas, Texas, to wash windows. And one rainy day, we're sitting there drinking beer in my office at my house because we couldn't go out and wash windows in the rainy day. My employee goes, I'm laid off from the chimney company and we could be making money if we were a chimney company today. And I went, okay, whatever. And so maybe a month went by and we're sitting back in the office on a rainy day in August. It actually rained in August in Texas that year. And it was a big rain for about a week. So we couldn't work for a whole week. And he said, we got ladders. You got a truck. You got a ladder rack. You got all these tools to get us started. All you got to do is buy a brush, some poles, and a vacuum, and we're cleaning chimneys and fixing chimneys. And so it piqued my interest. And so I ended up calling up a couple distributors of all the equipment, finding out it really wasn't that expensive to get into, and I launched our chimney company.
That is quite a story. I think our listeners would love to know, how did you start to grow your company without you? Was there some sort of moment or valuable event that really sparked that passion to have your business run without you?
Great question, Sophia. So, I mean, really, with everybody, in all you entrepreneurs out there, some big pain event happens, right? Or a lot of pain is occurring and you just finally get fed up. Well, in my story, there was a pain event. And so I had grown up, I had 4 trucks at the time. Each truck was doing its own work. I wasn't certified, which is something that, everybody in my industry should be. And so my wife was pregnant with our 3rd child. This was 17 years ago now. And I mean, literally from the date we are looking at this, this actually might even be the day she went into the hospital. 3 months early, my daughter, she was tried to be born. And so my wife went in the hospital. They kept her in there on bed rest. Here I am running a 4 truck company and a little retail store we had in Carrollton, Texas, selling fire gas logs. And that was our little call center. It was just a little 1,000 square foot place. And my right-hand employee, which is my partner, my wife, is in the hospital. And I have 2 kids, all under the age, at the time they were under the age of 10. I think one was like 5 and the other one was 8. And it's like, holy, you talk about getting smacked in the face. Now I'm running the retail store, running 4 trucks, and going to see my wife every day and take care of 2 kids alone. I muffled through that, A week after the baby's born, totally healthy. She was born preemie, largest preemie they've ever had. So she was pretty good. So she got home. I am at home the following Sunday, and I have a little stomach ache. But it was not a little stomach ache. It was like, ugh, something's not right. Well, I made it through the evening, lived through the next day, literally, and went a whole week with that. Kind of, it was coming and going a little bit. And the following Sunday, 7 days later, I started convulsing on the couch and literally was about to die. Didn't know it. My appendix had ruptured that following of the week before. And he ran me to the hospital, got in the hospital. They did emergency surgery, and I was off of work where I could not go to work for a minimum of 6 weeks, but I could not do anything on a roof or anything for 4 months. And at the time, I had two employees that were rotten, ended up doing the rotten stuff, stealing money, stealing clients, doing work for themselves. And one employee probably wasn't good anyway. He left. And I essentially got rid of all four employees and sat there wondering what I'm going to do. And my first thought was, seriously, what am I going to do to make this, I'm sure this never happens again. So we ended up, I'm not ashamed about it. I ended up having to file bankruptcy. I mean, we lost everything but the house and one truck. And so as I did that, while I'm in this process of restarting up my business, I thought, I am never again, ever, going to rely on me to have to run my company all the time. And so I'm going to work at systems, how to hire the right people, how to build a company correctly, that if I were to leave for a week or two or a month, it didn't rely on me. And then eventually be able to walk away and let it keep running and growing itself. And I did 6 years ago.
So do you think that event sparked your passion to help other people's businesses?
No, it didn't. No, absolutely not. I was all about me at the time, completely on the level of I wanted to get me right. And so to figure out how I became a business coach is kind of a funny story too. So I retire. I literally spent the first 2 years just playing golf and going hunting and just talking to my management team, and that was about it. During that, we actually had an employment lawsuit that occurred, which was a huge, huge life event for us. We will be doing a podcast eventually with my attorney about how you should be paying your employees correctly. That's a good one to listen to. We have not recorded that one yet, but we will. To make sure that you federally do it right. And of course you have your state statutes of how you pay people. But anyway, we ended up getting through that, but I will tell you that was almost like a death in the family figure. I mean, really getting through that time of my life, that was what put me on a path to making sure that we are doing everything right. And so we went through that. I started talking to other friends of mine that are entrepreneurs that owned businesses that wanted my help. So for free, I was sitting there helping these guys. And one Sunday afternoon, we were going to go to a kids movie. And luckily, it was my wife's best friend's husband calls me, wanting to know some things that he should do. And so I look at my wife, can tell who it is. She just goes to the movie alone. And I talked to him. While I'm talking to him, I'm just finishing up. Another friend of mine beeps in. I take his call. He wants to know something about his business. I'm like, what? Okay, this is weird. So I get off the phone with the one guy. We were done. And so then I pick up this call with this other guy. This other friend of mine owns a business. I help him with something. In the middle of all this, my wife comes back. Now, this has been hours now. My wife comes back and she's like, what are you doing? She's like, are you still on with so-and-so? I'm like, no, I'm on with someone else about, another friend of mine knows what she knows. So while I'm talking to that dude, another three in a row that day, friends of mine called me about what they should do with their business, all in huge pain points. And so I get off and I'm like, I'm sorry, honey, I missed the movie. And my wife just goes, looks at me, like a wife always does and kind of goes, you ought to just do that for a living. You're good at that. And it just kind of light bulb goes off and I had looked into hiring consultants before, but I didn't really know what a business coach was. So when I Googled it, I was searching for somewhere to learn how to really be a business coach. You know, is there schools, is there associations, whatever there is. And I came across the Professional Business Coaches Alliance, and I interviewed with them. You had to interview with them. I got accepted to be trained by them. I flew to Syracuse, New York to have the week training graduation ceremony after some online stuff and blah, 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 and some training online, and got certified and started my practice 2 years ago. I mean, I've been certified for 2 years. I've been helping guys with their business for 10 years. And here's the funny thing. Here's what the certification did. I was unsuccessfully helping guys before. Now I'm successfully helping them because it seemed like I was always lecturing them before. And they never, and here's the funny thing. And people would call me all the time. And actually the same four or five people would call me all the time. And you know what happened through a month or two later? Well, that phone call would come. They would call me and goes, I didn't do what you told me to do. I should have. I should have listened to you. I'm always getting the I told you so. They're always saying that to me, that they should have done what I asked them to do or told them to do. And they always do the opposite. So then I learned through my training and how to really get through to people, how to deal with them. Yeah, so I mean, 2 years successfully doing it. So after one year of this, I probably had 15 clients my first year, which is quite a bit. Average business coach is lucky to get one client. I got 15 my first year. Just advertising, learning how to do a lot of average. Since I'm so good on Google and websites, and then you also helped me pick up some clients my second year. But, you know, getting clients has never been an issue for me. It happened with me, but with that, the PBCA, the Professional Business Coaches Alliance, named me the National Rookie Coach of the Year last year. Well, this year, but for last year. For 2000, I was 2020's Rookie Coach of the Year for my 2019's work.
So what expectations and requirements do you have to fulfill to get an award like that?
I'm constantly in contact with that whole organization. I mean, I talk to business coaches, we do seminars, and then you update with, you know, how many clients you got. You just kind of through word of mouth, they kind of see what you're doing as you're talking to them. You know, you go to all these seminars. I went to 3 seminars that first year, and they get to learn, you know, everybody was like, I got invited to go to the Master Coaches Retreat in 2019. And to do that, you have to be doing over $100,000 of business a year and be a business coach for at least 3 years. I got invited the first 6 months to go to their Master Coaches Retreat. And I stuck right in right there. And I mean, didn't seem like that. I don't act like a rookie in this because I've been doing this so long. So they recognized it and just, you know, gave me the award.
So I know you have a service business, but you're no longer actively working in it. So how did you grow your service business as a business coach?
Well, since I took over, we really just started upgrading our systems and everything we did from like what you would call a immature business to a mature business to be able to have the growth style systems to operate, to be able to grow. I mean, it's hard to talk about it in, you know, like an elevator pitch here real quick of how you do it because it's so encompassing on everything you do. I mean, you really got to work on your culture at the same time as you're working on upgrading your system, adding systems, adding part B's to some systems, reporting. I mean, all this stuff has to be start being tracked and start getting into place. You've got to know your numbers to be able to grow your numbers. And that's the one thing people just don't do. They think they're making money, yet when you put it on paper the right way, they find out they're not. That's why they're always struggling. And so I'm huge on what we call a squirrel's nut report, short for the nut report of knowing your numbers. And I fight all my entrepreneurs on this. I know my numbers. And then it's like, well, how much money did you make last week? I don't know. Well, what do you mean? You know your numbers, right? Well, I'll tell you at the end of the month. Okay. End of the month comes. How much money did you make last month? Well, I don't know. My P&L says. I said, well, does your bank account say that? You know, and they're always like, well, no. Well, then what piece of junk report is that? I mean, let's make this simple. if you start the end of the beginning of the month with, let's just say, 100K in your bank, and you start the next month with only 92K in the bank, and your P&L says you made 10 grand, but your bank account says you lost 8 grand, which one's correct? And that's what's funny about these people. It's like they're delusional on their reporting because they think, you know, whatever. It's like, well, let's go from whatever report you have to actual. Let's pull the bank account statements up right now. Let's take a look. You know, and it's always funny when they go, we're not making money. You know, it's like, we're just spinning our wheels. Is there like a, you know, like a gerbil on a treadmill wheel thing? You know, it's like, yeah, that's not why you didn't get in business to break even. You get in business to grow your business to make money. I mean, and I mean, after you pay yourself, making money is not paying yourself. I mean, you want to give yourself raises. That's fine. But at the end of the day, you want to see a savings account, what we call your nut, grow. I mean, my first time I started doing that, I don't know, 15 years ago, I started with 10 grand and I grew that sucker up to $700,000. And so, because I made it a system to make sure that I'm saving money. And so when I have a bad month, even a bad year, I don't run out of money. Now I have lines of credit too. That's the thing. I mean, if you'd have told me even 10 years ago, I'd have that much money in the bank at some point in time, I'd be like, there's no way. It's impossible. I do, you know? And so, and you can too. I mean, when we show you how to grow your company, we're going to make it a point of that. You just can't spend all your money. And so definitely part of running a business.
You've told me before that you've been able to double the sales from your service business. Is that from systems and things that you've learned as a business coach?
Yeah, it's funny. It's really, I mean, once you start showing people in service industry, well, in construction too, you start showing them a better way to do some things. I mean, I've learned from my clients as well, some things to do, but most of the time, you know, what works in one business will work in another. And so we probably, let's just say 10 years ago, Master Services, that's my service company, if y'all don't know. Let's just say Master Services 10 years ago was doing 1.5 million, which it was probably doing about 1.5 million. And we started working on systems 10 years ago consciously. And I would say in a year, I probably went to 2.1 or 2.3. And then we kind of went from there, kind of stayed there for a while. And then when I started to learn to work on culture, we doubled the sales to 4 million in 1 year just by no more customer acquisition, same customers we had the year before. And just by working on the culture and our employees, and with some minor system tweaks, we were able to add a not quite double, but pretty close. Now, from doing that myself, I've now been able to do that with almost every company we've had. And so if I haven't doubled it, they've gone up at least 50% in sales.
I see that we've previously had some guests on the podcast. Do you wish to do more guests in the future?
I do. And I'll probably even share some and add some more podcasts with you as the host with some of these other people. You know, like we have Mike Bodart, who is, you know, at Lindemann's Chimney, great guy. He really was one of my quick mentors. He's not really a mentor, but he helped me when I was struggling a few years ago, and he's the one that really showed me the camera inspections and reporting and how to do that. And so I took that system that he had, tweaked it for us. That was a big factor. So he helped me with that. Then, you know, you got Marshall Peters with CCP, who's awesome, Certified Chimney Professionals. Had a little, you know, a stint with him on an episode all around him. We've talked to a couple other chimney companies out there, you know, some of those owners that are like us. We're going to probably have Mark Stoner. We have Mark Stoner coming up on the first episode of season 3. Me and him really clicked and really have a great story together. You know, we have very similar paths, you know, and so I plan on, you know, as we get going, having more people in the industry, and that's the chimney industry, but I'm also going to have other business coaches, master coaches on, you know, and so This isn't a chimney podcast. This is a service construction podcast that, as you can see, I already had a roofer on there. A friend of mine that owns a big roofing company, how you can do add-ons and stuff. So, you know, this podcast is for anybody growing a service construction business. I do focus a lot on the chimney industry because that's who I know, but I also have other people I coach who I'll bring my clients on here at times too. And so they're in other industries to talk about what they're doing. But I will have some master coaches on there that are from the PBCA to talk about some things that they do and different things like that. So I am excited to have us grow and build our list of people following our podcast. And so, yes, I'm excited to have you here, Sophia.
So as we wrap up today's episode, I just want to ask you one last question before we go. What do you hope that your listeners will gain from listening to your podcast? What do you hope they will get out of it?
The biggest thing really is that you can do it, your mindset. Whatever I'm talking about on here, you might be rolling your eyes sometimes when you listen to some of these things. Is it possible? Yes. Everything we talk about here, I've done. Everyone who I interview, they've done it. This isn't a fantasy land here of what you can do. This is an actual documented podcast of how we did it and how you could do it.
Thank you for joining us. You can find Chad at outsidethebusinessbox.com, where you can book your discovery call and get started working on your business. See you next time.